Sexy, sexy people of the internet. It is Dave. It's my man Duncan. Back from Metal Epidemic for another album review. For this review, Duncan and I have been checking out the new album from UK new metal trio Profiler. The band's new album, A Digital Nowhere, will be released on February 16th via Sharp Tone Records. So, a debut album from Profiler, and on Sharp Tone Records, which that's pretty impressive for a debut. That's pretty impressive.
I mean, like, that's no mean feat, Dave.
Yeah, the Sharp Tone have been scooping up quite a few bands recently.
They've been out in a wee shopping spree.
Yeah,
we've liked a lot of the acquisitions recently because they are groups that we are fond of.
Yes,
and we think that this is the next level for them.
Seem to have the finger on the old pulse.
Almost as if they've been watching our videos.
Could be.
I don't want to say that's what they've been doing, but
Profiler, however, they started as a solo project, believe it or not. Vocalist guitarist Mike Evans stepped out from the studio and onto the stage, enlisting bassist vocalist Joe Johnson and drummer Oscar Hawking. In early 2023, Oscar departed to be replaced by Brad Ratcliffe, cementing the lineup that would forge 2024's debut album, A Digital Nowhere. Profiler's new metal grunge alt rock, call it what you want, is an abrasive, distorted soundscape that reverently glances back to those genres' heydays. Profiler is for anyone who misses or missed the contagious 90s Seattle grunge movement, or the explosion of new metal that dominated the 2000s, and the genre-bending bands they made a path for. Digital Nowhere is the audio embodiment of this fusion, with a 2023 filter applied and contemplated with a vocal diversity that effortlessly moves in a beat from a trippy shoegaze-like haze to quintessential new metal rapping and unhinged screaming. Lyrically, the album takes themes from Terence McKenna's idea of a technological singularity and humanity's dangerous thirst for technological advancements, culminating in a point of no return. Mike counters the freneticism of technology and simulation with Buddhist spiritual teachings that weave throughout the record. With a reputation for memorable live shows, Profiler's picking up notable support slots across the UK, Memphis Mayfire and Monuments, and festival appearances 2000 Trees, bringing the reawakening to the scene's surface. So, Duncan.
So, David, that is your real name.
Cheers. It's two gents.
It's two hung men.
two of those guys who lived through the era. That lived through the era that was new metal.
Lived and survived.
Yeah. And I know.
Who were in bands that thinking, played new metal songs.
They don't look that old, surely. That's what you're thinking, but... However, we were...
I feel my age right now. So every second of it.
Every grey hair of it. We were and still are big fans of the genre. And it, you know, there was a period when it kind of went on the down low for a bit. And then
I think there was a period where everyone said enough is enough.
Yeah, there was a good like 10, 15 years when it was just like, okay, we don't want any more of that.
Where there was a pause. Like there was a giant metaphorical pin put through new metal and it was put in a cork board. And it's only recently has that pin been removed.
Shuggling,
and it's kind of almost okay to either admit that one, you liked new metal when it was around the first time, or two, to say you're influenced by new metal and form a band.
Yeah. The last 3-4 years, I think it's starting to make a bit of a resurgence again.
20-year itch, Dave. We talk about it a lot, buddy. We talk about it a lot.
But I think like a lot of the newer bands that are doing it, they're coming at it with like a, it's got like a kind of fresh coat of paint almost. Profiler are another one of those bands that are kind of trying to bring it back, but you know, with a few new ideas thrown into the mix. This was like very, there's a lot of nostalgia with this one for me. It very much is like bursting at the seams with qualities of that like late 90s, early 2000s vibe. But then there is something a little bit more kind of modern about it. Even like technologically as well, which like the kind of press release kind of references as well, that maybe new metal never had like all the way back then. Firstly, let's talk about some of those influences, because as soon as I
had not but a second after hitting play realized
it was like instantaneous. The first guitar lick that kicked in on All In Forever, I was transported way back, Duncan, way back to 1997.
Gotta go back in time
to a little album called $3 Bill, y'all. That's the start of that track. I was like, this is very counterfeit-esque. There's a bit of a counterfeit aroma.
Yeah, you're freaking me out. You wore a mask, Dave.
Absolutely. The clean guitars with a little delay. I was like, all right, here we go. And then like it's not long before you're kicked into a big hefty new metal groove. But as I said, these guys also bring something a little bit more modern to the table. And although the riffs fit that like new metal mold, they felt like they had a little bit more kind of technicality to them at times. Or you know, they'll take something and split at halftime, make it a bit more kind of breakdown-ish. Which, you know, it feels like maybe adding like a pinch of like a kind of like an Alpha Wolf or a Diamond Construct or that type of thing to the mix. And it definitely makes things a bit more interesting to hear, you know, that kind of mash of like old and new together. It's not the only Limp Bizkit reference you'll hear on the album, though.
As soon as you start using, as you do that, you are kind of like,
yeah,
is DJ Lethal on this album?
Yeah, it could be. Track two, Artifice. There's even a Bring That Beat Back lyric on that track, and I did have a little laugh to myself, I'm not gonna lie.
I am more fond of the Bizkit than you are. I look back on those years not with as much resentment and kind of personal shame.
I love that album though.
$3 Bill, y'all is a fucking masterclass, right? I don't mind them when they get a bit sillier though. Like between the two of us, I still revisit Still Sucks. I don't know if you do.
Oh, Jesus, no.
Do you?
Jesus, no. When that lyric kicked in, I was like, oh my God, right, okay, now we are doing a bit of throwback in here. Laughing away at myself at my work desk, you know.
Wasabis, bitches.
My wife was like, what are you laughing at? Like, you wouldn't get it.
Take you to the Matthews Bridge.
She didn't live through it like I did, Duncan.
I disagree with that. She saw that haircut. had to wash those baggy jeans, Dave.
I had the bleach blonde hair back then.
Baggy jeans, Dave. That's right. He's forgotten to take the wallet chain off. Yay.
Wash machine again. That second track, again, full of bounce, full of groove, and they're very good at that. There's obviously a little bit of DJ Lethal, Bring It On, in there as well. To be honest, I was kind of enjoying the little stroll down memory lane on this one. The other thing that I really liked about this was the production on it is very up to date, and it's thick, like very, very thick. Those guitars are way heavier than anything you'd hear on like the majority of new metal albums back, like 20 years back. Big snappy snare tone on it as well, which just like cuts through everything. Loved that. And again, it kind of feeds into this being a bit more fresh in places, and the production is definitely one of the places on this album that feels a bit more up to date. Track three was a track called Delay, where it's got a bit more of a kind of emotional, kind of laid back kind of vibe. It reminded me a wee smidge of like Linkin Park. Actually, it reminded me more of Third Strike's Lost Angel album from like 2002. My only kind of issue with that was I felt like it maybe came in the album slightly too early for me.
Oh, you wanted more clangers and bangers up front?
I do. I think I felt like after those first two tracks, the album was really kind of starting to get going, and then it was like, all right, okay, we're gonna just take the foot off the gas a little bit. And I wasn't expecting it so early. That being said, they follow up with Animal, which is basically like the bastard child of Deftones and Taproot kind of mixed together.
A little bit of edema.
Edema, yeah.
Yeah, there's a wee bit of edema sneaking in saying, hiya.
Hello, remember me?
The ugly stepchild in new metal, remember me? Oh, you don't? Okay, I'll get my jacket. Sorry, I'll get my hoodie.
Yeah. But I liked that they give you a good kind of balance of that nostalgia, and the more kind of like more intricate sounds by following up that track by To Utopia, which is like more kind of like glitchy, more modern, almost kind of like metalcore characteristics in it. This album, like many a new metal album, also comes with some vocal hooks. Mike, I feel like Mike had a tone that very much kind of fit with that 90s kind of new metal time period. I found it difficult not to be kind of humming along with them after I had a couple, two or three listens to the album, and then I was like, some of the choruses.
Couple of drinks, I can see it in your face.
Yeah, I'm starting to get kind of, the hooks were starting to get in a little bit. Nothing that I hadn't heard done before. As I said, it's got waves of nostalgia to it, but I think the band are absolutely aware of that. But it doesn't mean they don't do it very well. I thought Operator had some really cool melodies on it. I was getting little hints of what's his name, Rennie from Forever Never at times. Just like when Mike goes into a more kind of like kind of soulful style on that track, it kind of reminded me of him a little bit. And then if like Consumed isn't just a big old Deftones soapy hand job, then I don't know what is, to be honest. But they capture all the kind of characteristics and kind of dynamics of that track. And it was an occasion that I felt like that kind of like slower, more melancholic type of track worked well in that part of the album. The two tracks that follow it, I kind of wanted a bit more energy from. The Living, Receiver and Sequence both kind of air on the kind of lighter side, you know, cleaner chords, more kind of melody. And they're cool. They're very atmospheric and floaty. And the Living Receiver does build towards something heavier at the end of the track. But I felt like that just the end of the album didn't fully kind of like satisfy me either. But this is their first album, so I wasn't expecting like a perfect product on their first attempt. There's plenty in here that I did enjoy, and it's kind of clear to hear how they could kind of evolve on the next one as well. So for someone who grew up on the old new metal, it kind of scratched an itch that I'm always happy to have scratched, you know what I'm saying? Is it reinventing the wheel? Not really. But, you know, they do give it a more modern slant at times, which I quite like. The production's massive. If they sound anything like this live, then I think it would be pretty cool to see that, you know, big, huge sound. But yeah, a lot that I quite enjoyed in this one. What about yourself? What do you think of the Profiler debut?
So we spoke about this a little bit off air, and my initial comments may have surprised you.
A little bit.
In that I was coming out of this one a little bit negative. And Dave's like, this album? Like, but you are Mr. New Metal.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of a little bit, maybe just a little bit more than a little bit. I get what they're doing here. I think a lot of it does work. I think it stumbles into a couple of big issues for me. First one, and they kind of covered it in the press statement, if you didn't live through this era, I think some of this probably does come across as a little bit fresher than it actually is. You mentioned a laundry list of bands there. I could name more bands that it reminded me of. And the problem with, it's kind of like in a movie when, like, if you're watching, horror's my genre, but if I'm watching a horror movie and on the, like, Scream is a great example. If you're watching Scream, and in the middle of Scream, they're all watching Halloween, and Halloween's a better movie, I'm kind of like, why are you showing a better movie within your movie? It's kind of a feel with this album. The references sound like a lot of bands that I think are a lot better than what they are. And as a result, all this made me want to do when it finished was not spin it again, but actually go away and listen to other bands, which I don't know if that's just a me thing. Maybe it is. But it did make me, I was like, oh, I've not fucking listened to that Switched album in years. Can't wait to check that when it finished straight away. Listen to Switch. Realise that Switched is a better band. And I kind of found myself maybe unfairly nitpicking a lot of this because it does exist so specifically in a genre that I was ball deep in as a kind of late teenager, early 20-somethings. New metal was my genre. Like, I skipped a lot of the formal metal training. Like, yeah, I think you can say that, formal metal training. Like, the first proper bit, the first album I ever bought was Life is Peachy. I was kind of invested in that new metal thing. The weird thing about them is the air towards a very later day new metal. And that's that alt side. And that's that side of new metal that I started, like, when, like, you pick up an album and you, like, an Edema album, for example, and you get about three songs in it and you kind of look at it and go, what are we doing here? You know, like, is this still metal? I don't know. I love the guitar tone on this. I think the guitar tone is super thick. It takes a little bit of that, kind of, you mentioned, kind of a little bit of metalcore, but there's a big old swath of the djent without it being too digitally and too fucked with. I think the production tightness around the drums and the string work over the top is really cool. I love the glitchy stuff they do as well. I think it's done in a way which doesn't sound too artificial, but you can clearly tell there's some fuckery in it. Even the deck stuff, which, to be honest, is the most uninspired deck stuff that I've done. They might as well just have a keyboard with a sound that went, and then just went, it's not great. It's not really well done, but there's only three of them in the band. So I would argue, again, it's easier than learning decks. That's fine. It's not overused as well. There could be a level of immaturity for bands that just be like, it needs to be in every fucking song. And I get wearing your influences in your sleeves. I have a problem with the vocals on this one. And it's the thing that drew me out the most. I think his screaming tone is fucking great. I think his rapping tone is really, really, really good. I think some of his melody is okay, but they have a tendency to put an effect. It's almost like a kind of delay or a slight delay distortion over his melody vocals. Now, I will stress Deftones on the Mount Rushmore of bands for me. And Chino went through this phase. Like, Chino went through pretty much, it was a little bit on Adrenaline. Around the Four, it's still kind of there. White Pony through to, what we're saying here, White Pony through to maybe Saturday Night Wrist, maybe the album after that. Like, you went through a, no, my voice needs to be through 7FX and all the rest. And we bore witness to them live on that, and it's, doesn't work. UK metal bands did this a lot in the late 90s and early 2000s. It was almost as if they weren't confident enough that their melody would sound fine, so there was always a tendency to add a little bit of something, a little effect, or like a little bit of work, a little bit post-treatment on there, just to make it sound like, I found it very off-putting, like very, very, very off-putting, and it's on almost all the melody here. And it's a shame because he's not out, he doesn't have a bum note. But I hear that and I don't know what it aids at all. I don't know who it benefits. I don't know what it adds. You've got your harsh tone, you've got your rap that doesn't have that effect on it, and then whenever we kick into melody, there's a veneer over it, like an Instagram filter, that just pulls me out every time I hear it.
Right.
And it got more prominent as the album went on, as the album became more melodic. I'm with you. I don't understand the two closing tracks. I think there's a missed opportunity. If you're gonna invoke the new metal, go fucking weird on the last track. That was the, every band had that. Like, fucking, like, 3 minutes of silence and then a weird fucking thing. Let's get Cheech and Chong in there. Like, I don't like bagpipes. Like that's They give you a kind of a very melancholic 1-2 punch to close the album. When the album has had up until that point, like, you listen to the close of Zero, it's just like boo do boo boo do, fucking huge chunky guitars, and I kind of feel like there's a, don't know if it's like we're trying to keep it 50-50 or we're trying to front load the album. New metal bands did that, they front load them with all the singles. But it became a distraction, and I don't know if I know what Profiler sound like.
Right.
I don't know if Profiler know what Profiler sound like. Mm. It's clear they're really interested in a particular era that I am interested in, because I hear it all the way through their stuff.
Yeah.
But I think the problem with doing that is that, like I said before, it ends up evoking bands that were more committed to that one style for a whole album.
Mm.
Or because they were around the first time around, it sounded a bit fresher. I just got a feeling by the end of this album that I had either outgrown this music, which I know I haven't, or the band don't quite know what they want to sound like yet.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, there's a bit of an identity crisis on this album overall. Like, you listen to Linkin Park, even if you listen to a Linkin Park debut, that Linkin Park debut knows exactly what it wants to sound like. It's going to have big old pop hooks, it's going to have hip hop, and it's going to have screamy sections. And that's it, right? You listen to Deftones, Deftones knew exactly what they wanted to sound like. By the time you get to, it's either Consumed or The Living Receiver, that becomes very Deftonesy. I'm listening to that, and I've heard that done better by other bands now. Like, I listen to Load, and I hear all the best elements of, like, Deftones interspersed and used differently. I hear them just doing, like, a Deftonesy sound, and they're not as good at it as Deftones, and that's an issue for me. Kind of feels like they're trying to capture everything instead of focusing on one thing. I think the alt new metal sound, as its core, big old hooks, big chunky riffs for the verse, maybe a bit of rapping here or there. They'd be very, very, very good at that. I think they spread themselves too thin on the album overall.
Mm-hmm.
Can't dispute with you. Great production. And it does, it gives it a kind of more... New metal came out now. There are a lot of bands that I listened to back then that would sound like this. I just don't think they're the best example of what they're trying to do. And because, like I said before, it's a genre that I really liked, I feel I am overtly critical of it. So, as a first album, I am waiting for the second.
Okay.
Sorry. I don't hate them. I don't hate them. No. But enough time's moved on. Enough time's moved on that you need to put your own spin on it. And there's a lot of bands that are doing the new metal thing just now, and it feels like a modern version of new metal, whereas I think this is too much of a throwback and not enough of themselves. Not enough of Profiler on this album.
I know what you mean.
Give me more Profiler.
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from. Ratings on this one from Profiler, A Digital Nowhere. I enjoyed it for what it was. I'm not someone that kind of relentlessly goes back and listens to old new metal albums, so when this came in, I was kind of happy to hear it. It kind of gave me that nostalgia of that kind of era. There's a lot of stuff here that I've heard done before. And I agree with you. I think Profiler still need to show a bit more of their own personality in this sound. Love the production. There's a lot of cool bounce and a lot of cool riffs on it. The ordering of some of the tracks I didn't quite get. In the end of the album, I felt like there was a spark needed that wasn't there. But I'm interested to hear where they go next, where they can start to kind of infuse a bit more of their own sound into their next album. At this point, I'm going to go 3.5 out of 5 on this one. What say you, Duncan?
I think they're on a great record label. I think they're going to get to tour with a lot of bands, and I think they will refine and mature their sound. As it stands for me right now, it's a 2.5.
2.5. Okay. Horse me a wee bit. Okay. Sharp. Profiler.
Hey. Don't start. Everything you say to me takes me one step closer to the edge, Dave, and I'm about to break.
Profiler, A Digital Nowhere, out on February 16th on Sharp Tone Records. Links below to the band, to the pre-order. Have a little listen, see what you think. Let us know your thoughts and opinions. That is the review. Thank you for checking it out. We'll be back with another review very soon, but until then, take care. Speak to you soon.
Bye, everyone. Stop freaking out!